have lacked aught that is essential to a happy life. For I have not planned to live up to the very last day that my greedy hopes had promised me. Nay, I have looked upon every day as if it were my last. Why ask the date of my birth, or whether I am still enrolled on the register of the younger men? What I have is my own. Just as one of small stature can be a perfect man, so a life of small compass can be a perfect life. Age ranks among the external things. How long I am to exist is not mine to decide, but how long I shall go on existing in my present way is in my own control. This is the only thing you have the right to require of me, that I shall cease to measure out an inglorious age, as it were, in darkness, and devote myself to living instead of being carried along past life. And what you ask is the fullest span of life. It is living until you possess wisdom. He who has attained wisdom has reached not the furthermost, but the most important goal. Such a one may indeed exult boldly and give thanks to the gods, aye, and to himself also, and he may count himself nature's creditor for having lived. He will indeed have the right to do so, for he has paid her back a better life than he has received. He has set up the pattern of a good man, showing the quality and the greatness of a good man. Had another year been added, it would merely have been like the past. And yet, how long are we to keep living? We have had the joy of learning the truth about the universe. We know from what beginnings nature arises, how she orders the course of the heavens, by what successive changes she summons back the year, how she has brought to an end all things that ever have been, and has established herself as the only end of her own being. We know that the stars move by their own motion, and that nothing except the earth stands still, while all the other bodies run on with uninterrupted swiftness. We know how the moon outstrips the sun, why it is that the slower leaves the swifter behind, in what manner she receives her light or loses it again, what brings on the night, and what brings back the day. To that place you must go, where you are to have a closer view of all these things. And yet, says the wise man, I do not depart more valiantly because of this hope, because I judge the path lies clear before me to my own gods. I have indeed earned admission to their presence, and in fact have already been in their company. I have sent my soul to them as they had previously sent theirs to me. But suppose that I am utterly annihilated, and that after death nothing mortal remains. I have no less courage, even if, when I depart, my course leads nowhere. But, you say, he has not lived as many years as he might have lived. There are books which contain very few lines admirable and useful in spite of their size. And there are also the Annals of Tanusius. You know how bulky the book is, and what men say of it. This is the case with the long life of certain persons, a state which resembles the Annals of Tanusius. Do you regard as more fortunate the fighter who is slain on the last day of the games than one who goes to his death in the middle of the festivities? Do you believe that anyone is so foolishly covetous of life that he would rather have his throat cut in the dressing room than in the amphitheater? It is by no longer an interval than this that we precede one another. Death visits each and all. The slayer soon follows the slain. It is an insignificant trifle, after all, that people discuss with so much concern. And anyhow, what does it matter for how long a time you avoid that which you cannot escape? Farewell. Letter 94. On the Value of Advice. That department of philosophy which supplies precepts appropriate to the individual case instead of framing them for mankind at large, which, for instance, advises how a